You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I am your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday, July 20th, and we are charging forward during tonight's three-hour special on the acquittal of George Zimmerman and all the mayhem that surrounds this case and the trial that was. An incredibly busy night tonight. I want to thank Richard Spencer and Jared Taylor for their talents and service during the first hour. It will continue from there. A little later this hour, you will hear from Dr. Kevin McDonald, a professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach. In the third hour, attorney and popular speaker Sam Dixon, and batting cleanup tonight, Kyle Rogers, the webmaster and a board member for the Council of Conservative Citizens. He has been tracking this case since day one and doing an impeccable job, and no one else out there is more of an authority on the violence and protests that have stemmed from this acquittal than Kyle. So all of that is still forthcoming this evening. I want to take 30 seconds to catch my breath because it'll be the last time I have the opportunity to do so tonight. And I want to thank Cody and Kim for their hospitality this weekend. I had to go make an appearance at an event on Friday, and they were kind enough to put my wife and I up for the evening at their home. And that family, ladies and gentlemen, is a true inspiration. Just a phenomenal Christian family. Proud to be able to call them my friends, and they are regular listeners of the Political Cesspool. They listen live every night to the show, and just so blessed to have been able to spend some time with them this weekend. I also want to say hello to Cynthia in Charleston, South Carolina, who I understand has been listening to the show this evening on a balcony in Charleston, watching the sunset and listening to the Political Cesspool. So thank you, Cynthia, and welcome to the show. Also to Scott in South Carolina for his support. Got a big package in the mail from Scott, who is the owner of Dixie Republic, and we're going to be sending out the contents of his benevolence to listeners this week. So to Scott, Cynthia, Cody, and Kim, we love y'all. God bless y'all, and thank you again. Joining me in the studio now, Keith Alexander. Yes, Keith Alexander is going to be a part of this show. You know he's going to be. Keith coming in a little bit later tonight to make room for Jared and Richard during the first hour. Keith, I know you were listening to the program as you drove to the station tonight here on the local AM dial. What did you make of the commentary that was provided during the first hour? What can you add to that, to what Richard and to the foundation that Richard and Jared poured? And then we're going to get into some of the aspects that you've seen that perhaps hasn't been covered yet.
Well, of course, they were both excellent, James. Thanks for having me on this show. You know, everybody's mind has been marinated in nothing but Trayvon Martin for several months now, so this should be a very easy topic for everybody to talk about. And everybody has a slightly different take on things. I think my take from a legal standpoint may be a bit different from some people. I think that the prosecutor in this case was guilty of prosecutorial misconduct, and they say that politics makes strange bedfellows. None other than Alan Dershowitz agrees with me, you know, the off-the-chart liberal law professor from Harvard Law School. And this is reminiscent to me of the Duke lacrosse case, in which there was really incredibly over-the-top prosecutorial misconduct, which led to the disbarment of the prosecutor that was involved in that case. But I think it's a terrible sign in, you know, the Obama era and a Department of Injustice headed up by the likes of Eric Holder that we've got prosecutors feeling pressure from the federal government to bring these type of prosecutions when it's pretty obvious, if you compare the facts with the law, that there's not a case here that should be sustained, or you know, if a jury found George Zimmerman guilty, the jury would have been ignoring facts or ignoring the law. And the fact that this was a close call for a guy with, you know, impeccable credentials as far as having no unorthodox views on the subject of race whatsoever. In fact, he fits right in with the Rainbow Coalition model about how everybody ought to feel about race. Nonetheless, he was picked out and nearly picked off by the judicial system in today's America. We're up here celebrating that the jury did the right thing. I was, you know, quite frankly, dismayed that it was a close call. It shouldn't have been a close call at all. In fact, there should never have been a prosecution, one. There were a fair number of people in the Sanford, Florida constabulary and in the prosecutorial mechanism, in the police force and the sheriff's department and whatnot, who lost their jobs because they stood up for what was right and said, I don't want to be a part of this. This thing is a witch hunt, and this man's done nothing wrong, and I'm not going to be part of this. So they said, don't let the door hit you in the ass when you leave. People are losing their jobs, losing their careers, losing their livelihoods because they want to do the right thing in today's America. We live in a world that even Orwell didn't predict. And this is frightening to me, particularly in light of the demographic change that's apparently just around the corner of, you know, in terms of years for America. You see how absolutely, you know, impossibly obtuse the black community is on this. They feel that this was a terrible miscarriage of justice. I'm looking at Memphis's weekly black newspaper called the Tri-State Defender, and the lead editorial is Southern Justice Prevails Again by Walter Smith. Okay, now this is the prevailing take, at least among the black community when it's talking to itself, that somehow this is a patent and apparent and obvious miscarriage of justice. They cannot seem to wrap their heads around objectivity and facts. They can't appreciate a concept like self-defense or a law like the Stand Your Ground law, which basically wasn't even involved in this prosecution. The defense intentionally avoided couching their defense in terms of the Stand Your Ground law, which they had every right to rely upon because they knew if they did it, they would be providing the Obama administration and the Department of Injustice under Eric Holder the perfect opportunity to have a test case, a high-profile test case, to take to the Supreme Court to knock out Stand Your Ground laws everywhere. So they made a conscious, strategic decision not to make that the cornerstone of their defense. In fact, it wasn't even part of their defense. But the black community is convinced that they've been robbed. What does that bode for the future when non-whites are the majority in America?
We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When the political cesspool returns, Keith Alexander the Great will be back on deck. Stay tuned.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
And what a show it is. Richard Spencer and Jared Taylor are guests during the first hour. Kevin McDonald will be coming up in about 10 minutes' time. And then in the third hour, you'll hear from the incomparable Sam Dixon and Kyle Rogers. Right now, Keith Alexander. Keith will be staying, of course, as co-host for the remainder of the program. And he will be participating in the interviews with the three remaining guests. Picking Keith's brain right now as to his thoughts on the aftermath of the acquittal. You were talking about if the jury had failed in its responsibility to issue a not guilty verdict to render justice in this case based upon the facts. You know, I think had they delivered anything other than a not guilty verdict, they would have caved to the peer pressure that the media has inflicted with its incessant drum beating. You know, I know they that were sequestered for the time of the trial, but they were certainly not sequestered. This didn't become a news story just when it went to trial. This has been a news story for a solid year, at least. And so they were certainly subjected to that. And as far as the prosecution goes, you know, I said this earlier in the week in a radio interview in which I was a guest. I don't think that the judge sustained any objections that the defense put forth. I think the judge herself in this case was absolutely a puppet of the Obama administration. I think she was totally taking orders from the Obama administration and perhaps the media itself. But I think that there is little doubt that Eric Holder, you know, I have no facts to back this up. It's just a theory, but you see the lengths to which Holder is going to land Zimmerman in prison, completely outside of his power and realm of authority. I think there's little doubt that she was in contact, or that the Obama administration was in contact with her. I have never seen a case in which she seemingly ruled for the prosecution with every single objection.
There was only one time in which she sided with the defense, and that was preventing the prosecution from charging Zimmerman with child abuse as a lesser included offense, which of course was totally absurd. But they were so desperate to get some type of prosecution. And I agree with you, the likelihood of there being some type of back channel communication between this judge and Obama's Department of Injustice, headed by Eric Holder, is, you know, very likely, in my opinion. This is horrible. You know, we used to say with pride that in America we have, have a government of laws and not of men. Well, scrap that old-fashioned notion. Apparently, who you are and what your opinions are depend more than facts of guilt and innocence when it comes to your vulnerability to prosecution. Like Richard and like Jared said and like James has said, George Zimmerman was a poster child for post-racial America. He just ascribed to every canard set out there by the Rainbow Coalition about how we're supposed to approach the issue of race, and he barely escaped with his freedom under this prosecution because the establishment was so hungry for a prosecution of a so-called white man killing a black person under self-defense circumstances. Apparently, the black community and increasingly the white elites of this nation and the Jewish elite of this nation feel that rather than threatened whites having a right to stand their ground, that blacks have the right to stand their ground and that all whites threatened by them have to cower, cravenly run to the nearest wall before they can do anything. They basically cannot stand their ground to any assertive or abusive black person that they encounter. They've got to basically take into account the fact that black people have a hair trigger and are liable to act a fool, as they say. And you've got to take that into consideration, and you've got to let them act a fool, even if that involves beating you within an inch of your life, as happened to George Zimmerman. Now, another thing that you were bringing up was about, how do I put this? You know, the fact that there is this incredible reset situation that has become part of our criminal justice system ever since the Civil Rights Movement, where they would bring some civil rights era suspect like Byron Della Beckwith or Edgar Ray Killen or, you know, whoever, you know, some guy who is accused of being a Klansman involved in a murder or some other crime, a bombing or something during the civil rights era. He would be acquitted by a state court jury. Then he would be arraigned and tried on various and sundry federal charges. They would move the case around. They were relentless. Sometimes they were prosecuting these poor souls five and six times until they finally got some type of conviction. And then they would celebrate it like it was a great triumph of justice, truth, justice in the American way, when actually it was a violation of the principles of double jeopardy that are ensconced in our Constitution, and we're all supposed to be protected against double jeopardy. We had triple, quadruple, quintuple, it's like the octomom. We had octo jeopardy in some of these cases. And see, this is why, you know, I think Jared was saying that, or Richard, that the past isn't past. You know, we haven't gotten past the bad old days of segregation. Well, let me tell you, I take the myth debunking one step further. Even segregation wasn't as it has been portrayed with the Scottsboro Boys, with Emmett Till, with all of these other so-called terrible enormities that happened. A lot of that is, again, manufactured misinformation by the mainstream media run out of New York. And James is up here. James is pumping his fist on this. Here's what happened, for example. This is why Southern senators in the 1920s and 30s fought the anti-lynching law that was proposed by the federal government, for the federal government, by leftists and Northerners back in that day. It wasn't because they were pro-lynching. They knew that this was going to be used by people outside of the region as a way to skirt being bound by a state court determination. You know, murder, which is what lynching is against the law. So if there was unjustifiable homicide, you had all the grounds for taking care of that in the state court system. They wanted to do what they have now done once they got the momentum to make changes in the federal system via the civil rights movement. That's why you see these multiple prosecutions. This is why Zimmerman isn't out of the woods yet. This is why, you know, it's kind of like the anti-lynching law revisited. They now have a federal law and they can prosecute you under that, regardless of the fact that under the same factual scenario, you've already been found not guilty. The founding fathers would be appalled at this. They would consider this a direct violation of the protection against double jeopardy that is in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution. But this is exactly what the left wants. They want Stalinist show trials. They want to show that nobody bucks the revolution and gets away with it. That's what happened to Edgar Ray Killen. That's what happened to various other people in the civil rights movement. And this is what may yet happen to George Zimmerman.
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Kevin McDonald, professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, joins the discussion on the political cesspool.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. The parade of celebrity guests continues this evening as we continue to offer comprehensive coverage, opinion, and analysis on the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin ordeal, from the incident itself through the trial and the aftermath of the verdict. Joining us now in discussion is Dr. Kevin McDonald, of course, professor of psychology at California State University. Dr. McDonald, such a pleasure to have you. And again, I appreciate you being able to make yourself available on such short notice. I called Kevin about 2 hours ago.
Great to be here, James. I was happy to come here.
The pleasure is all ours, as it always is when you appear, my friend. We had Jared Taylor, Richard Spencer the first hour, Sam Dixon coming up immediately after your appearance. But I guess Kevin would like to ask you just to state your observation on this entire situation, just in a nutshell, and then we'll begin to dive in a little more in depth.
Well, I thought that that George Zimmerman, you know, certainly acted appropriately, self-defense and everything. What's interesting, of course, is the media, the sort of madness that followed the verdict here. I sometimes tune in on MSNBC, and, you know, they're painting a picture there that you just had this innocent little black kid who was gunned down. He was stalked and then murdered. That's still the story that they have. You know, it's completely, in contrast to the facts that were brought out in the trial and everything else. But, you know, there's this, especially on the left, you know, certainly in the Fox network was much better. You had people like Sean Hannity, especially, who from the beginning were sympathetic to George Zimmerman. But, you know, the LA Times, in general, the mass media has taken the view that, you know, that was just another example of white racism. And this whole thing about profiling, I mean, it's just taken completely out of the context of actual black behavior. I mean, that's the most amazing thing. I mean, like on MSNBC, they'll talk about profiling, and they'll completely ignore the fact that some young black kids had been breaking and entering in that neighborhood. So, of course, here, if you're on the neighborhood watch, you're tuned to young black males.
This is Keith Alexander. Kevin, exactly. And what they seem to totally be missing on this in the news media is that George Zimmerman was the head of the local neighborhood watch group.
Right.
And he's supposed to not follow a guy that he thinks is suspicious. He's supposed to not be nosy. That's his job within the parameters of the neighborhood watch program, to be nosy and to try to, follow people and to try to prevent crime before it happens. That's what neighborhood watch is all about. I live, and James lives, in a majority black city, and the black mayor and the black city council, up until the Trayvon Martin story, apparently thought that the neighborhood watch program was the best thing since floating soap. They wanted every black neighborhood in Memphis to have a neighborhood watch. But suddenly, you know, neighborhood watch is just, you know, just another word for racism. In fact, in the local black newspaper, the lead editorial after the Trayvon Martin verdict came down, the George Zimmerman verdict came down, was Southern justice prevails again.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That's sort of the picture that we get. And yeah, and for example, in the LA Times, they had stories about the riots, because there have been several riots in LA and Hollywood after this. But in the LA Times, they won't mention that the perpetrators are black. But the fact is that everybody sees it on the evening news, And white people do have a well-justified stereotype. You know, I think Obama went on television yesterday, and he's talking about, it's hard for blacks, you know, for example, for hailing a cab. Or, they'll notice that women will sort of hold on to their purse more closely and walk the other side of the street. They don't want to deal with young black males. Well, that's the reality. Blacks have to deal with those stereotyping processes, which are absolutely human nature, if they're going to, get away from this. But instead, it's just all, like you say, it's just an example of Southern justice, Southern racism, it's the way we live.
Well, another thing that I don't hear talked about a lot is that even though George Zimmerman is like the poster child for post-racial America and the way that a non-black person is supposed to perceive and behave in regard to black people up until the unfortunate moment of Trayvon Martin's death, nonetheless, he barely got by with an acquittal by the skin of his teeth. And as we pointed out before, if George Zimmerman had been Jared Taylor or Kevin McDonald or me or James or Richard Spencer or any number of people that have non-mainstream views on race, it would have been guilt by association and we'd have been swinging.
And that's right.
And furthermore, things are only going to get worse as the demographics change, as predicted by UN demographers, and by the year 2041, whites will be a minority in America. We see that black people seem to be totally immune from factual analysis. They cannot see things without looking at them through the prism of race. That does not bode well. I've always pointed out on this show that people wonder why rural whites in South Africa and Zimbabwe allow themselves to be hacked to death by black intruders to their farms. Well, that's perfectly understandable to me because a lot of times these groups come in, threaten violence, but don't do violence. And these farmers know that even if they're justified, if they pull the trigger and shoot and kill a black person, they're going to be arrested by a majority black police force, prosecuted by a black prosecutor before a majority black jury, in a court presided over by a black judge, and they're going to be toast. That's what America's future holds for us unless people wake up. We had a show the other day where we were talking about the Everly Brothers and, how wholesome their lyrics were compared to some of these rap singers. And I got a letter in from one of our fans in the show and said that we need to update the Everly Brothers song Wake Up Little Susie with a new version, Wake Up Little Whitey. We need to get white people realizing what the future will hold to us unless we wake up and develop a sense of white racial solidarity, because every other group has it in spades. And this bleeds over into things like the criminal justice system and the jury system. And I tell you what, this thing was not heartening so much to me as it was scary, because it's a forecast of things to come. What do you think?
Well, that's exactly, that's a very good point. I've written quite often on the fact that For it's crazy for whites to become a minority, to just voluntarily go into that. Because when we start losing political power, there's all this hatred. Black America, is immediately. It's hard to find a black person who agrees with this verdict, and they're just filled with hate. And I also write about Jewish Americans. An awful lot of evidence of hatred for white Christian America. And in general, we see that this hostile media environment. I often talk about the hostile elite. Well, that's the way it is. And you don't want to become a minority when the majority is going to be dominated by people who are hostile to you. When you don't have the power, when you don't have any power, where it's much diminished, you are going to be victimized. And I think South Africa is a good example. You see an awful lot of, brutal murders and so on. That's what's going to happen here. It's silly to think otherwise. And these white people who are dreaming about this harmonious multicultural future, it's just that. It's a dream. And people have to wake up to the reality. But, you know, it's very hard in this media environment. We have to break through and to, you know, reach more people, because this is a desperate situation here.
If racial demographics continue on their present trends, this will look like a model case of justice being served, and this will look like the media was fair and objective compared to what's going to be coming up down the pike for the rest of us. You know, this case will be a drop in the bucket compared to the absolute railroading and lynch mobs that will be coming in the future for the founding stock, for the dispossessed minority, majority at this point, unless they develop the same healthy and natural and normal sense of racial solidarity that every other group has. And I know Keith wants to chime in quickly before we go to a break.
Well, all I was going to say is that I had a son who was in Central America when Obama was elected in 2012. And he told me that he was absolutely appalled at the jubilation that all non-whites in Central America, which is the vast majority of people there, expressed because the non-white candidate had prevailed against white candidate. He pointed out to these people that supposedly are strong Christians.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hi, this is Vincent Finelli with USAPrepares.com. This July 19th, 20th, and 21st is our 6th Get Prepared Expo in Lebanon, Missouri, the largest in the USA. This is your opportunity to get prepared for every type of emergency and disaster that's headed our way. We've had deadly hurricanes, deadly tornadoes, deadly droughts. The Get Prepared Expo has the exhibits, the demonstrations, the seminars, and the workshops designed to help you prepare. Learn how and where to start and how to plan for contingencies. Expect more seminars than you can attend. Violent climate change, water purification, solar power, storm shelters, food storage plans, survival gardening, detecting radiation. What if you can't get to a doctor to fill a prescription? Learn alternative ways to control your blood pressure. Learn natural healing. Become a Native American medicine man or woman. 3 days, $18 at Get Prepared Expo or $10 a day at the door. Have a plan. Bring your family. Let the Get Prepared Expo get you started. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Kevin McDonald, our guest tonight. We're so excited about having Kevin on the program right now that we couldn't even take a commercial break properly. We just kept on talking all the way in through it. Kevin, certainly a hero, a man who has put sacrificed greatly and contributed mightily to this cause. Please be sure to support his website and to visit it, theoccidentalobserver.net. Theoccidentalobserver.net. Kevin, a recurring theme that we're visiting tonight is the media's coverage of this issue. Did it surprise you at all just how venomous they were?
Yeah, it again, what's truly an adventure in life is to go into MSNBC. You know, that this is a mindset where whatever happened there is completely decontextualized. You know, they won't talk about the black criminality in general, much less what had happened in the recent past in that particular neighborhood. And they'll apply that to everything. You know, I mean, it's just all irrational racism. So that's the picture that you get. It is encouraging that the Fox Network did have some, you know, some people who were very, you know, especially Sean Hannity, I thought, very much in favor of the verdict. You know, you can see his bias the entire time leading up to the verdict. But, you know, of course, he doesn't frame it in really a racial way. He, you know, it's very important for him and that George Zimmerman didn't have any racialist attitudes and that kind of thing. So it's not like he's going to, you know, promote a sort of sense of white being having a white identity. I do think there's a sort of implicit whiteness there on that network with in the coverage of that trial, at least on some of the shows, especially Hannity. But MSNBC is just a wasteland. It's just unbelievable what they come up with. I was watching the other night, and everything that every difference between blacks and whites in America is simply there's all the racism. It's just bottom line. I mean, blacks don't get a good education, or blacks, whatever. There's never any mention of anything else, and that's the kind of thing. You know, we're talking about before, when we become a minority, and as we become a minority, we're going to have less and less political power, and we are going to get victimized an awful lot more. There's just an awful lot of hate out there, and the media is promoting that. An awful lot of the media is doing that.
Well, and then, of course, the media was so overzealous in their caricature of Trayvon being the chair-faced 12-year-old boy walking home armed with a bag of Skittles, that they went so far as to coddle Rachel Gentile, to defend her as extremely articulate. I mean, that when you go to that extent, you are completely devoid of any integrity and objectivity at all. And I know Keith wants to respond and then toss it back to you, Dr. McDonald.
Yeah, MSNBC, or I think NBC, actually falsified some of the 911 call at the beginning. It was very clear there was just massive bias, and so, you know, some of the local newspaper stories that they found burglary tools, stolen property, and so on. Trayvon Martin was not this little innocent guy that was with the Skittles that the media was promoting, and the photos, you know, of the 13-year-old kid are completely irrelevant. Big, hulking 17-year-old guy who was much taller than Zimmerman. That's the kind of message that did not get out for an awful lot of people. So, yeah, the media was just absolutely irresponsible in this. But, you know, it's not the first time. It's just routine.
Well, this is Keith Alexander, doctor. Yeah, this is unfortunately the rule, not the exception. Guilt by association is encouraged. This is why it was so necessary to sequester that jury. If they had been listening to the news coverage and the news reports that were coming over CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, they would have been infected, because unfortunately, you know, the medium is a massage. If you have the megaphone and the microphone, you can control public opinion. And we're, you know, the fact that white people alone among all racial groups seem to have had their cultural immune system disabled and their racial immune system disabled makes them, I think, peculiarly vulnerable to thinking that everyone else is going to be just like them when the worm turns and we're no longer in the majority. I can tell you from living here in Memphis, which is like a canary in the coal mine, we see what is coming to the rest of America. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. A perfect example is the move by the black mayor and black city council to unname the Confederate theme parks in America, in Memphis, which they've done with no apologies. And it makes me think, what would happen if the shoe were on the other foot? Can you imagine, Dr. McDonald, any city, town, hamlet, village in America with a white chief executive and a white legislative council daring to unname Martin Luther King Boulevard anywhere? No, they wouldn't. And they wouldn't, not because Martin Luther King is some paragon. I tell people, paragons don't have to have their FBI file sealed for 50 years like Martin Luther King did. But what it shows is that white people are the only people that can be trusted to be fair with all other groups. All other groups, you know, Trotsky and the cultural Marxists were right. The real fault line in society is race, and all non-white groups hold this unquenchable animus against whites that whites seem to be totally oblivious to. Am I stating this too much, or what do you say?
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, a lot of my writing and thinking lately has been to try to understand us and what's wrong with us. I mean, and one of the things that I've come up with is this tendency towards moral universalism. And this goes way back. I just wrote a paper on the abolitionist movement in the 18th century. So this is like over 200 years ago, and you see the same things where you see these white people, you know, making these moral pronouncements that all humans have the same abilities going on these moral crusades. Well, you don't see any other people doing that. They have this profound moral sense, and that's what's being used against us. You know, and that's why it's so important to always demonize the whites, because, you know, what happens then is these white people that feel guilty and they become soldiers against their own people. And so this happens over and over again now. And so the whole message for the last 50 years is that there's something wrong with white people, with Western culture, and so on. And that it's always been indicted on a moral grounds that there's something evil about white people and so on. And whites are uniquely prone to having a sense of moral guilt, to having a sense of, that. And in the past, this has been very adaptive, but it's gone way too far, and it's being exploited. I mean, I've written these books about like the culture of critique, about the modern intellectual movements. They all involve moral critiques of the West, and that's what we're seeing now. That's why it's so important for the media to keep harping on it. You know, this George Zimmerman thing, he's just another example. And there'll be, you know, next month there'll be another one. And they'll just emphasize it, they'll blow it out of proportion, you'll never hear the end of it. And our biggest problem is that we can't get a hold of the media, we can't make our own moral case for Western civilization, for our own culture and our own people. If we could do that, if we had a megaphone in the mass media, things would turn around very quickly, because we do have a moral point of view and a very strong moral story to tell, but that's just, we're just not getting out now.
Well, Dr. McDonald, I couldn't agree with you more on all counts, but I want to say again, and I mentioned this at the top of this segment, that you are doing the good work and you are fighting the good fight. And I only wish that this venue and your venue was reaching the number of people that are absolutely being poisoned by MSNBC, CNN, and all the rest. But folks, do yourself a favor and make the Occidental Observer.net, the Occidental Observer.net, one of your daily reads, and support the work of Dr. Kevin McDonald, who is out there fighting for you. Kevin, thank you again for coming on such short notice, and we look forward to having you on again already.
Thank you very much, James. Really enjoyed it.
As always, Dr. Kevin McDonald, everybody. Keith, we have just a couple of seconds before the end of this hour, and then we're going to move straight into an interview with attorney Sam Dixon. Parting shot for this hour, Keith?
Kevin McDonald, we really never got to ask him what I consider to be the payoff question. Who's responsible for decimating this view or disseminating this view that white people are guilty of enormous crimes against all other people, and that if other people, non-white people, don't succeed, don't prosper, don't have societies that achieve to the level of white societies, it's somehow the fault of white people, not the fault of the other people that can't seem to get it together. And, of course, the answer to that is Jewish power and influence, of which Kevin McDonald is the resident expert on the right. And, you know, I really someday want to get his opinion about the role that Jewish power and influence played in the Trayvon Martin case.
Sounds like a part two forthcoming here on the Political Cesspool radio program, but for now we got to take a break. The third and final hour of tonight's All-Star lineup coming up.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.